This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. How you doing? Whether you're smiling or frowning, change is coming. And whether it's cutting taxes, changing U.S. foreign policy, erasing the Obama legacy, we are looking on this program at what institutions can expect the most serious Trump treatment over the next 4 years. And over the course of this week, we'll look at the press, we'll look at health care, we'll look at the EPA and climate change policy. But we begin today with the U.S. Supreme Court. How worried about the court are you?
There are so many fears that I have. One example being President-elect Trump's appointing a Supreme Court justice who'd contribute to the possible overturning of Roe versus Wade. This would be one consequence of my biggest fear, the possible appointment of up to three, maybe even four, Supreme Court justices who would enlarge an extremely right-wing conservative court that could affect this country for 20 to 30 years.
The fears of Mark Manheimer, a listener from Bradford, Massachusetts, a fear that's shared by possibly many more Americans. Donald B. Verrilli is an attorney with Munger, Tolles, and Olson. He's served for 5 years as Solicitor General under the Obama administration on major legal issues like marriage equality and the Affordable Care Act. He believes the Supreme Court has already been sullied from being dragged into one political battle after another over the past two decades. He's worried that if Trump gets three or more appointments, the court may be unrecoverable as a neutral authority on the U.S. law of the land.
Now, the court is not, in fact, a political institution. They don't make their decisions for partisan reasons. But I have a grave concern now that the court is going to be perceived by the public as just another partisan institution. And the reason I think that is because of what happened with the Republican obstructionism in denying Merrick Garland a seat on the court and now transferring the ability to nominate the person to fill the empty seat to President Trump.
And where do you think the Trump court would be headed if he has the opportunity to appoint as many as three justices over the next 4 years?
I think the right way to think about it is to take it one step at a time. President Trump will nominate a person to succeed Justice Scalia. And I don't think that that is going to bring about a major convulsive change of any kind. What you'll basically have, at least in the immediate future, will be a court that looks very much like the court that we had for the last 5 years. And that's a court that upheld the Affordable Care Act twice and recognized marriage equality and protected a woman's constitutional right to reproductive choice. It's also a court, of course, that struck down Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act and a court that gave no constitutional scrutiny of any kind to voter ID laws. So in the immediate future, I don't think there's going to be a dramatic change. The question, of course, will be whether any other justices step down. And that's the moment at which there could really be significant change in the direction of the court.
Donald Trump seemed to suggest that gay marriage is settled. Does that mean no court would go back and overturn that decision?
Well, I don't think everything is up for grabs immediately. And I think the marriage equality decision, it will remain the law of the land for the foreseeable future. But I certainly wouldn't rule out the possibility that if there's a significant change in the court, that that issue wouldn't be revisited. I certainly hope it won't. I believe that decision was profoundly correct, and it ought to be the law of the land for all time. But all of us understand, with any perspective on history, that progress isn't linear, that it's often two steps forward, one step back. And so I think it would be unwise to assume that a decision like the Obergefell marriage equality decision is solid and sound for all time. I hope it is. I think it should be, but I wouldn't be certain about that.
And Brown versus Board of Education?
I can't imagine that a decision as fundamental to who we are as a country and as fundamental to our progress as a country would ever be revisited by any court.
You say that the appointment of a justice to replace the late Justice Scalia won't have any convulsive effect on the court. But I'm wondering if the supposition that we suddenly have changed it from appointing judicial scholars or people who can be experts on the Constitution to filling particular slots that represent political ideologies. I mean, that's the whole bit right there.
That's the concern. I agree with you. Candidate Trump and now President Trump has said he intends to nominate somebody in the mold of Justice Scalia. So I think that's what we can expect. Now, I'm sure that person will be a person of integrity and a person of great intellect. But I do think that the partisan maneuvering was certainly done for the express purpose of achieving just what you described, getting somebody in there who would vote in the way that the Republican senators wanted the justice to vote.
Who trusts the court now and who doesn't trust the court right now?
So, you know, I think the professional class will continue to trust the court because the people who appear in front of it and the people who work as lawyers in our judicial system do recognize that it's not, in fact, a partisan institution, and they do their best to make judgments based on their view of the law. I think the problem is that the public is going to perceive it that way because they're watching what's happened here. They're watching how this seat wasn't filled during the Obama administration, and it's instead going to be filled by President Trump's choice. And I think the general public is going to increasingly come to the view that this is just another political institution. It's not an institution devoted to the law.
The Obama administration has looked at the segregation in housing in America as being an alarming degree of separation of the races, and they're not the only ones who have done that. If there are attempts to enforce the Fair Housing Act and to try to reverse that segregation, do you see a Trump court essentially stopping that and enshrining the level of segregation that we have right now as a kind of states' rights issue that, okay, it's all right that we have this level of segregation?
Just last year, or year before last, I guess, the Supreme Court did uphold the ability to enforce the Fair Housing Act vigorously in a case in which the United States participated and I argued. And that was a court that had Justice Scalia on it. But I will say that is another issue in which if there is a significant change in the personnel of the court, if there are two or three new appointments, then I think the ability to vigorously enforce the Fair Housing Act is something that I think could genuinely be at risk.
And then de facto, the court will have enshrined a segregated America as appropriate and legal and essentially consistent with the Constitution.
Well, what it will have done, I guess, is disabled the ability of government and the ability of private citizens who have been wronged to use the rule of law to remedy that problem. And that's a pretty terrible consequence.
Donald B. Verrilli is former Solicitor General of the United States. He spoke to us from San Francisco. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.